The Dukes of Hazzard will not be televised this evening in order that we may bring you the following special presentation.
Sorry, no Dukes of Hazzard today. It'll return at its regularly scheduled time tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
At 8, 7 Central and Mountain. But right now, welcome to Jason and Alexis in the Morning, Hour 2, live right here on My Talk Everything Entertainment, Everything American Bandstand. I'm Jace with Lex and Holly. Thank you so much for being here. Hope you're having a lovely, lovely day.
Ooh, prepare, though. It is raining.
It is.
And, yep, still coming down.
It's
had
horrible.
To look out the window there for a sec. Yep.
A little moist, but the sun's coming out later today.
Yes.
Is it?
It sure is.
Yeah. After like
the
9, I think.
The sun will come out tomorrow.
This afternoon.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Thank you.
Nailed
Thank
it.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, I have an idea.
Okay. Jace?
That I would like to share. And it's free for the city to use. I'm giving you permission here on the airwaves to use this idea. So this idea stemmed from following former Star Tribune restaurant critic and author Rick Nelson. Rick Nelson was and is a newspaper icon here in the Twin Cities. Mm-hmm. His restaurant reviews were a good review from him was sought after by anyone that opened a door to a restaurant. And I enjoy him as a person. And I enjoy his not so subtle mission. And here is his not so subtle mission. If you follow Rick on Instagram, and I would encourage you to do so, Rick Nelson MN, you will notice a thread running through a good chunk of his post. And that is how unbelievably barren and ugly Nicollet Mall is.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And how other areas and other cities use flowers and greenery and in far better ways than Minneapolis's Main Street. I happen to agree with him wholeheartedly. Because like Rick, I have a lot of Minneapolis pride. I know that it is fashionable for some people to rip and wish harm on downtown and poo-poo it. And look, it has its problems just like every other city in America. But a prosperous downtown means a prosperous state for a variety of reasons. We won't go into the economics of that, but just it's the truth. No one should be cheering for the demise of Minneapolis. Let's just say that.
No.
So on that token, we spent, and I mean we, the citizens, spent a lot of money about 5, 6, 7 years ago redoing Nicollet Mall. And the results were a lot of concrete and not a lot of greenery. Not a lot of trees, not a lot of planters. Nicollet Mall used to have art. Well, and it does have art. Let me just, this isn't all negative. It does have moments of splendor. But looking at the totality of it in comparison to something like the Magnificent Mile in Chicago, which has planters in every block, there's nothing, nothing in Nicollet Mall.
In other cities, who pays for that and who maintains that, Jace?
It depends. In every other city, it really depends city by city.
Because we're not reinventing the wheel here.
No.
So,
but here's my idea.
Okay.
Here's my idea. And I am inspired by one of my favorite festivals at Epcot Center. Now, everyone can start laughing right there. Of course, it's something with Disney. Well, you know what? Laugh if you will. But there's a 60 Minutes story done many years ago saying that every city planner should have somebody from the Disney Imagineering team on it because Disney knows how to move people through spaces.
They know how to make spaces.
They know how to make spaces. Epcot Center has a festival called the Flower and Garden Festival.
Yes.
And other than food and wine, it is my favorite festival at Epcot. There are topiaries all over Epcot Center. Topiaries in the shape of Disney characters. They are magnificent. And there are flower arrangements. Every type of flower imaginable you will find somewhere in the park. And every year it changes. They'll add a topiary. Like last year, I sent a picture to Alexis. They added the entire cast of Encanto. It was the premier topiary exhibit for the Flower and Garden Festival last year. They're just stunning. Gorgeous.
Yes. Wow. It's art. Art because, and Bloom
yes.
was just at the MIA. We have the artists to do that. Are you talking about getting together with artists who create?
I would like floral. Minneapolis to do, or even St. Paul can get in on it. But because I'm focusing on Nicollet, because St. Paul does a better job as far as greenery. But for Minneapolis, for Nicollet Mall, mm-hmm. I would like the city to do the Tulip and Topiary Festival.
Thank you. I love that. Yeah. Okay. The Tulip and Topiary Festival. Jace?
You get corporate sponsors.
Okay.
We have a ton of them.
Yeah, we do.
We are rich in rich companies. And you get partners like Bachman's. And you get sponsors for blocks. And those blocks handle the displays of various tulips. And then you get artisans to make topiaries, beautiful, stunning topiaries out of Twin Cities related items. You can do a Kirby Puckett topiary. You can do a Prince, do the symbol. You can do a variety of things. You can do a loon. You can do Paul Bunyan.
Any
of our sports teams. You can go back in the rich history of our a hot dish. But you do these topiaries. You do these topiaries either all through Nicollet Mall or because of security concerns, you could put them all in one space and that would lessen the financial burden of needing security 24 hours a day during the festival. I am telling you, if you got corporate backers and then the city council would have to agree to that. And Lord knows that's anyway, won't go off on that. But
are you thinking it would be like where the European market was? Because that's cute spot there.
All up and down Nicollet Mall. I'm saying from tip to tail of Nicollet Mall. If you had tulips in amazing configurations, if you had stunning, absolutely stunning floral displays, you could have more than tulips. But I love alliteration. And since we're Norwegian, you know, we have Norwegian blood, tulips just seems to fit. But a tulip and topiary festival, the Twin Cities Tulip and Topiary Festival. It would be a spring event. People would come down to look at this. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Then eventually you grow it. You get vendors down there. And I just think it would be stunning.
And all outdoors.
All outdoors.
Okay.
All outdoors.
Oh, you celebrate the summer.
Celebrate the summer.
Yeah.
We know how to do summer really well in the Twin Cities. But we gotta fix the barren concrete wasteland that is Nicollet Mall. If it really is supposed to be our main street, you gotta beautify it. And right now, it has nothing but planters with mulch in it. And I'm not joking.
Yeah.
It's they just throw mulch into everything. Nobody has time for bronchitis or mulch.
Well, the weather hasn't helped.
Yeah, well,
especially with tulips and the temperature it needs and the climate, that would be the hardest thing and to time that right. But I love what you're thinking. I love where you're going with this, Jace. Absolutely. And if it will bring people to the yard.
Yeah.
That's most important.
Yep.
Come on downtown.
If you had
scary to park.
No, there are tons of venues to park. And if you had beautiful, gorgeous, can you imagine like a Bob Dylan with what artisans could do? With like interpreting like a Bob Dylan topiary, like a giant 20-foot, 12-foot topiary. Oh my God, we have so many talented people in this city.
Make a 30-foot Snoopy.
Yes.
Ooh, yeah, 30.
People would come down, and again, you get
dang, Holly, I like that.
Ambitious.
No, you're right, Holly. No, but
wow,
we have so many things, so many artists. such a creative community here. And people would come down. You get vendors. You make it a thing where they're walking from one end of Nicollet Mall to the other. People would come down.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Because Flower and Garden Festival is stunning. I just walk around and it's just a beautiful... Have you been to Epcot during Flower and Garden, Lex?
I have, yes.
Holly, have you?
I have not.
Okay.
It's just absolutely stunning. I mean, I haven't been in many, many years. So to see how they've even improved since then...
Yeah, it's
during that time. That's just, incredible.
So do it, Minneapolis. We're a little over. Apologize for that. When we come back, Boob Tube Bonanza. The contestant.
Oh, talking about beautifying the city. Why don't you worry about beautifying your exterior right now? And a lot of us are thinking about that right now, going, what can we do to make our outdoor just more beautiful and more functional? And JTR Roofing, they can help. Yes, roofing is in the name. They can help with any storm damage, hail damage that you may have, any kind of issues with your roof. Of course, your soffit, fascia, gutters, your siding. They can also help with windows and decking. And I love hearing from those who have worked with them, like Colin. He said, they made our new roof seamless and pain-free for me. I barely had anything to do in regards to dealing with insurance or claims. The final product looked great in my yard and house was spotless after the job was done. Friendly group of guys as well. Thank you. And love to hear that, because they just do a wonderful job. So if you want to have them out for an estimate, make sure you mention me or my talk. You can get $1,000 off roofing, siding, or gutters. JTRRoofingInc.com.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Let's get right to it. Welcome back, Jason and Alexis in the morning. Let's talk a little TV. Holly, the contestant. What is this?
Yeah, so this is a documentary that just dropped on Hulu. And this is a story basically about the origins of reality television.
Oh.
That happened in the late 90s in Japan. Well, the story, I don't know if cool is the way you want to categorize it, but interesting and slightly troubling.
Uh-oh. Okay.
So this happened in Japan back in the late 90s. And they had some reality television. You know, Japanese television had this reputation for being wild, zany, over the top. Well, there was this reality television producer who really wanted to put someone through the ringer and capture human emotion on television. He was obsessed with it. So he came up with this concept on his television show to put somebody in a room and they had to survive solely on prizes won through entering contests in magazines. This was a thing in Japan in the 90s where you could go through magazines and you could write down little sheets of paper. You'd send them off. Maybe you would win and then you get prizes. And they called this segment within this reality show, the reality show called Denpa Shonen, A Life in Prizes. Well, they found a contestant and his name was Nasubi. This was a nickname. Translates to eggplant, because they called him that because he had a long face and they referenced it looking like an eggplant. Anyway, so Nasubi, he's from Fukushima. He moves to Tokyo. He wants to be a comedian because he wants to make people laugh. And he is selected to participate in A Life in Prizes. So they put him in a room, isolate him, strip him of his clothes, and say the only way that you can survive is by A Life in Prizes. And you have to reach the equivalent of 1 million yen in prizes, and then we'll let you out of this room.
Wow.
Now, this goes on a wild journey. Now, what I'm here to say is that Nasubi didn't really consent to any of this. He didn't sign any waivers, releases, or anything.
Oh, my God.
He didn't know that he was being recorded. Not only did he not know, well, he knew he was being recorded, but he didn't realize that producers were taking footage, editing it, and putting it on this reality show every week.
Wow.
What he also didn't realize is eventually people wanted more footage of Nasubi around his apartment, and they were live streaming it on the internet in the late 90s.
Wow.
24/7.
With his wiener out and everything?
With his wiener out and everything.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, they covered the wiener, horrible. Alexis.
Okay.
Who am I?
Conveniently, yes.
Madeline Kahn here?
Yeah.
With an eggplant emoji, and they point to Nasubi, which translates to eggplant in Japanese, and an eggplant emoji covering his bits and pieces as the origin of why we use an eggplant to suggest male genitalia in emojis.
Really?
But I digress. Oh. I'm just going to get to it. He stayed in that room and other rooms for over a year.
Did he go crazy?
Yes.
Oh, no. Is he okay?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Long story short, he is okay. Nasubi is okay, but he wasn't okay. It caused severe psychological damage to Nasubi. And the producer knew that this was happening. But the producer was maniacal, a supervillain, if you will. And he didn't know that. This became a television sensation in Japan. 30 million people were tuning in to Denpon Shonen, the show that showed Nasubi every week. 30 million people.
Oh, my goodness.
They took his private diaries that he was writing throughout the ordeal and published them, and almost a million copies of these diaries sold in Japan in the late 90s.
Wow. Did he get any of this money?
There was no, because he didn't sign anything.
Oh,
he didn't
know.
He got zero money. He didn't even know that he was being broadcast on television. He thought that they were shooting footage and that this was a show that would never make it to the light of day. I mean, this is wild. This documentary, The Contestant, and then it gets even weirder. I don't want to give the whole thing away, but it is disturbing. What these producers did was unethical at the very least. Possibly illegal in my eyes.
Did they interview him at some point in this documentary?
Yes, Nasubi himself is very much a part of this documentary, as is the producer. But he spent over a year in isolation.
Poor guy.
So he used such a right the companies for free stuff in order to eat?
Yes.
Oh,
he went days upon days without a single thing to eat.
Awful.
Wow.
And then finally he won a bag of rice. But then he had to figure out how to cook it.
I was going to say, do you have a rice cooker?
Yeah. No, we did not. He had no apparatus to cook.
Oh, my gosh.
This is a story I knew nothing about.
I didn't know anything about this.
Before watching this docuseries, this was happening in Japan the same year that the Truman Show movie came out here in the United States.
Oh.
And it's on Hulu, Holly?
This is on Hulu. It's called The Contestant. It is wild beyond belief. And it's excruciating to watch sometimes. It's very sad to watch. And it's the sadistic nature of the producers and the show and what was happening. I mean, they tortured this guy.
Yeah.
They literally tortured this guy.
Wow.
Okay. I'm going to watch this.
I don't know.
Well, I'm here to tell you, Nasubi has a story to tell.
Okay.
And that he took this experience in his life and he turned it around into something else. Something positive.
Okay,
something that he wanted to do to reach humanity. Now, I don't want to give it away, but there are, you're just like, oh my gosh, that happened?
Okay.
I will tell you that
happened. I'm
going to
watch this. Yeah. The Contestant on Hulu. It's game time when we come back.
Hey, everyone. It's Alexis. Last year, I enrolled in My Genetics by Health Partners to get a better understanding of my genetic health risks. This community health research study with no-cost genetic testing can help detect, prevent, and treat risks before they arise. but I also got to learn more about my ancestry breakdown and lots of interesting genetic traits, like if I'm prone to snoring, my caffeine metabolism, and even my earwax type. To learn more, visit healthpartners.com/yourgenes.
Welcome back. The news broke this weekend that the 25th anniversary of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire on ABC primetime will be celebrated with the return of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire to ABC primetime, hosted by Alexis's boyfriend, Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. I can't believe it's been that long. I remember watching it on ABC in the newsroom, and it was a big darn deal. The first show in primetime to offer $1 million prize. I mean, it was just everybody watched it. 36 million people at one time would watch it. So anyway, in honor of that, I had another game arranged. I had another game that I wanted to do, but my trivia box is gone. I was so yeah. But this is perfect because there's a peg this week. There's a peg. Yeah, someone stole it. But there's a peg this week because of the news of Millionaire. So we're going to play Who Wants to Be a Fake Millionaire? Now, last time I kept a record, Holly started. So this time Alexis will start. We'll see how far Alexis can get. Can she get all the way to $1 million? We will see.
Hmm.
Holly can be Alexis's lifelines.
Yes.
You have three. Alexis, are you ready?
Ready.
Alexis, which of these countries is in Central America? Panama, Ecuador, Chile, or Bolivia?
Which one is in Central America?
Yes, ma'am.
You said Colombia?
I said Panama, Ecuador, Chile, or Bolivia.
Ecuador or Bolivia in Central America. Panama is, oh gosh, okay, I gotta focus. You said Panama, that's in Central America. That one is, yes, final answer.
You are right.
Woo!
That's right.
Oh my gosh. Woo!
No, right, Lex? It took me a moment to, I had to know, I'm with you.
I was like, okay, wait, hold up.
Don't do Colombia.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I was like, wait, did you say Colombia? Like, no.
No.
Okay.
Okay, woo! We're up. We're up to $1,000. Let's play. Oh, God. Okay.
Oh, no.
Alexis, the New York Yankees are a professional team in which sport? Hockey, baseball, football, basketball.
Baseball. Final answer.
That's right. Oh, we are up to $2,000. Let's play. Which river forms the majority of the eastern border of Arkansas? Missouri, Ohio, Potomac, or the Mississippi?
Eastern side of Arkansas. Okay.
Again, this is for $2,000.
The Mississippi. You said Missouri River. What were the other two?
Missouri, Ohio, Potomac, or the Mississippi. This is the eastern border of Arkansas.
Okay. Oh, man.
You can pull the audience. You have a 50-50. You have a phone a friend. That's Holly.
Uh-huh. I'm going to phone Holly.
Ooh, I'm going to suggest you don't.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to 50-50.
Oh, you're going to 50-50? 50-50 would be B and D, Ohio or Mississippi.
Oh, okay, really? Then I'm going to go with Ohio. Final answer.
Oh.
It was was the Mississippi.
It was the Mississippi.
Oh, my God. Well, I eliminated that immediately, so I would have, been wrong no matter what. Wow.
It's all right. It's all right.
It's on the east. Oh, my goodness. Wow, I need to.
Yeah, I didn't know that either, Lux. I was like, wait a minute. I got flipped around on that one.
Holly. East side of Arkansas. Okay. Wow.
You're gonna pick it up from here. We are at $2,000. Let's play. Alexis now becomes the phone-a-friend.
Yeah.
Holly, in 1959, Alaska became which number state of the U.S.? 47th, 48th, 49th, or 50?
Jason, I'm going with C, 49, final answer.
You are right.
Yeah!
That's right. 49th. Holly, we are up to $5,000 of fake money. Let's play. Holly, which day is celebrated each year in the U.S. on June 14th? Independence Day, Columbus Day, Flag Day, or Labor Day?
And I'm proud to be an American on Flag Day. C.
Yes. Sorry. Is it right? I don't know.
She's right.
Yeah, honey.
That's right. Flag Day, everybody. Everyone's favorite day, Flag Day. Holy crap, we're up to $10,000. Let's play. Holly, for $10,000 fake dollars, complete Henry Ford's famous quote about his Model T car. Quote, any color you want, so long as it's what? White, blue, silver, or black?
Sir, I'm just going to be bold, and I'm going to go with D, black.
Final answer.
Wow. We are up to $20,000. This is almost farther than we've ever been. Let's play. Oh. Here we go. For $20,000. Who was the first star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame? James Dean, Joanne Woodward, Doris Day, or Charlie Chaplin?
Ooh, I'm going to go 50-50, Jason. We need to get rid of some of those.
We are going to activate a lifeline. B and C are left. Joanne Woodward or Doris Day?
Huh. Interesting.
Ooh.
Well, you know what? I'm going to be zesty because why not? I'm going to go with C, Doris Day.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
Oh, no!
No!
Oh, the many faces of Eve, Joanne Woodward.
It was Joanne Woodward.
Oh, that's a fun fact.
Isn't that a fun fact? I thought that was a fun one.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I'm glad we ended on that. I mean, I'm not sorry you lost $20,000 of fake money, but I mean, you know.
Yeah, that's okay. I don't think the U.S. Department of Education takes fake millionaire money from a morning radio show anymore.
No, they don't. No, I don't think they do.
Dang it!
When we come back, Alexis is going to lead our coverage, our team coverage of the Met Gala next. Jason and Alexis in the morning, right here on My Talk. Everything entertainment, everything. Girl, look at that dress. I'm Jason, Lex, and Holly. The Met Gala was last night.
Yeah.
In New York City.
Yeah.
Okay, Lex, lead us off. What were you loving? Because I was following along by following you on Insta. Who were you loving?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. There were so many good ones. There were some misses as well. But what's so great about the Met Gala is it's the Costume Institute's, they have a new exhibit every year, and or at least for celebrating this. It's Sleeping Beauty's Reawakening Fashion. And the dress code for the event last night was the Garden of Time. And then they also have, you can go and see all of the actual exhibit. There's 250 different rare items, fashion history for 400 years. Every year there's Met Gala hosts. And this year, and then of course there's the charity and there's a big party that's pretty secretive. They're not allowed to bring the phones in right after they walk the red carpet up those big stairs. And oh my goodness, there were some major moments, including from one of the hosts, Zendaya. She never disappoints.
No.
And last night was no different. She came out. She had two outfits.
Yeah.
The first one was stunning. It was, she almost looked like a peacock. It was yellow. It was green and blue. And she had this beautiful, like, big feather that was coming out of the top of this hat. It was a mermaid, tulle, berries, and a whole bunch of different things all over. Tulle all over that was just on one shoulder and just looking gorgeous.
Looking at it now, it's stunning.
Oh, and then she changed and came out with this beautiful headpiece with all of these colorful roses, but then the rest was black. It had long sleeves. It was off the shoulder, billowing. I can't even imagine how many yards of fabric that was. And she just looked absolutely stunning. So she was an absolute hit. Now, do we want to do the yin and the yang of the night,
yeah,
if you ask me?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
This reminds me of also what Cardi B did, which I didn't think worked very well. Did you see what Cardi B had on? That dress
The giant dress?
The giant, like, loofah-looking duster. Black as well, had this big Marge Simpson hat wrap around her head. Green, actually, her nails looked really good. They were, like, a bright green. But I didn't think that worked as well. That dress was wearing her and not the opposite.
Yeah. I get what she was trying to do. She made a statement, but I don't know if it was the right statement.
Yeah.
And it's been done before. Big, voluminous dresses that take up the whole red carpet.
Yes.
We've done that.
Absolutely. Another huge hit, which is a big favorite on our show, is Coleman Domingo.
Oh, right. Nailed it.
That outfit we want. I think guys or girls would look great in this.
Oh, anybody.
It was such an interesting combination. And there's a video of him as he's leaving to get into his car to go to the Met. And, you look stunning, amazing. He's like, thank you so much, but let me open this up. And so it's black on the bottom, silky pants, wide-legged. It's a white, maybe off-white. It was a white jacket.
Yeah, like a cream-colored tuxedo jacket. Double-breasted.
Okay. Double-breasted, right, with a cape that hit the ground, and he was carrying lilies. And then on his left lapel is, like, this fabric, ornate-looking flower, which looked stunning. Then he goes, the best part is when you open my jacket. You open the jacket, and it was a cape and a suit jacket and a jumpsuit.
Oh my word.
And he just accessorizes perfectly. He's got rings on. He's got colored contacts in. Oh, stunning.
Men-wise, I'm looking right now. I loved, Dan Levy.
Yes!
Dan Levy's britches were a floral, like all floral, and his top was a waist cut tuxedo top, almost like a penguin without the tails.
Yes.
Cut right at the waist and then a floral pant and then beautiful black shoes.
Black,
I loved that. Yeah.
To the floral. Oh, I love those. It just really went for it.
I would do that. That's exactly what I
would do. Oh, you
would
look good
in
that. You would look good because it's almost like an ombre into the flowers.
Yes.
And then it looked embroidered, but it's just absolutely stunning. I love those who went with the florals. It was surprising to me how many people went with like sand color, nude, because it's such a fun, vibrant, it's the Sleeping Beauty floral. You can be really bold with this. And a lot of people didn't.
No. Anna Wintour looked really great too. She was a little subdued, but had a nice nod to the floral.
Oh, the bespoke nature of her jacket that she wore and the details on that.
Mm-hmm.
They shared just some of the handwork there and just hours and hours. Yeah. What else was, I mean, there were so many of them. Yeah, it was just stunning.
You know what was interesting, too, is that this, the Met Gala, word on the street, the scuttlebutt, the gossip, was that this year's theme wasn't supposed to be Sleeping Beauties. It was supposed to be a retrospective for designer John Galliano. And, well, you know, he said some things, he did some things, and not in the public favor. However, many, many, many of the fashions last night on the Met Gala red carpet were designed by John Galliano. He did the peacock dress that Zendaya wore. He did Kim Kardashian, which, bless her heart, I mean, all I thought of when looking at her corset was like, does she have gas?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
I'm just like, how uncomfortable.
How to breathe. And then, what was with that little, like, shrug, like, cardigan that she kept wrapping around herself?
She was cold?
I guess. Maybe. I'm not sure, but
I was like, oh, man, she is crop dusting and fertilizing those flowers that are ascending the staircase at the Met Gala. I'm sorry.
And barely breathing. Shallow breathing.
Yeah, but a lot of looks from last night were indeed designed by John Galliano. So it was kind of like a backdoor tribute to the designer.
I see. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There were only a couple misses. Let me focus on one more positive. I loved Demi Moore. Not everyone did.
Yes.
I thought Demi Moore looked stunning.
That was great.
She understood the assignment, man. She understood it. It's supposed to be fantastical, and she accomplished it. Oh, I thought she looked amazing.
The structural nature of that dress, I'm really curious about the construction of that, because to get that shape, because how would you describe that? It was black with pink and white, and it looked like...
It was a piece of art. I mean, she looked like a statue.
It looked like an interpretation of the Queen of Hearts from Alice in Wonderland.
Yes. Oh, Holly, that's a perfect way to describe it. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Simple elegance. She always, to me, she always does it. Sarah Jessica Parker, I liked her subdued look. Some silver Lex I saw that you reposted her.
Absolutely.
I liked the hat, the fascinator. Was it the most over the top? No. But you know what? I liked the fun, whimsical shape of it.
Yes.
Kind of a dome. I loved the purse. I don't know.
The extensions. I want that dress. Oh, it's stunning. Yeah.
There we go. More photos of the Met Gala you can find everywhere. My Talk even posted some. We're going to take a break when we come back. Oh, I was in such a good mood.
Find and love, Jace.
Maybe. Something. We'll be right.
Oh, sorry. I coughed into the mic there. Hey, it's Alexis for Rebath. Rebath.com. I love my bathroom. I think you will too. It's a one-stop bathroom remodeling shop. They just take care of business. They'll help you design the bathroom that you need. They'll come to your home, look at your budget, look at the style, look at what you need, and come up with a great design. Now, that is free. They just want to show you what they can do. And then, if you go with them, make sure, of course, you mention me or my talk for $1,500 off a complete bathroom remodel. Then they'll take care of business in 5 days or less. Yeah, 5 days or less. Josh and Joe came and did our bathroom in 5 days, and we had a lot of issues with the venting. We had to change the position of the toilet. But especially with the newborn at the time, it was very convenient to have them come in and out. You're never wondering, will the contractors come? What's going to happen when? No, no, no. Rebath.com, sign up to have a designer come, or you can stop into their showroom. It's in Apple Valley on Galaxy Avenue.